You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, which means it's time to talk our state's history.
I've sent the following wire to President Truman. My heartiest congratulations to you on your election.
I'm aware of my blackness, but I don't go around and look and see whether I'm different than someone else.
Fail a lot quickly, and then eventually you'll succeed.
I worry that the person who thought up Muzak may be thinking up something else.
For Michigan baseball fanatics, a visit to the corner of Michigan and Trumbull, the site of the original Tiger Stadium, is virtually a religious pilgrimage. But there's another baseball field roughly 5 miles away in Hamtramck that has its own historical significance, yet it's rarely recognized. Here now is State Archivist Mark Harvey with the Michigan History Center and author, founder, and president of the nonprofit Friends of Historic Hamtramck Stadium, Gary Gillette. Glad to have you both with us. Mark, I want to start with you. What is it about this old baseball stadium in Hamtramck that's historically significant?
Several things, actually. It's one of the last true home fields for a Negro League team still standing. Depending on who you're talking to, there are 3 to 5 stadiums remaining in the U.S., and Hamtramck Stadium was also placed on the National Historic Register in 2012. Significantly, it hosted the 1930 Negro League Championship Series that, unfortunately, the Detroit team eventually lost to the St. Louis Stars. It also, in addition to hosting the Negro League teams, it also hosted high school baseball and football games. It was the site of a 1934 football game between Wilberforce University and West Virginia State University, two historically black universities. And it was also the location of the first night game in Detroit.
Boy, there's a tradition that still certainly persists. Gary Gillette, who were some of the most well-known players who were at this park?
Well, in my research on Hamtramck Stadium, I've identified 18 Hall of Famers. These are people in the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Although many people think there's a Negro League Hall of Fame, there really isn't. What people are referring to normally is the Negro League's Baseball Museum in Kansas City, which deliberately does not have a Hall of Fame because they don't want to compete with Cooperstown, which I think is the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there were 18 Hall of Famers so far, and we may get hopefully more in 2020 when the Hall of Fame has a new election for Negro League candidates. So the most famous would be the iconic names Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson. Those are the two most famous Negro Leaguers of all time. Also Cool Papa Bell, who was one of the greatest Negro Leaguers ever, but his nickname gets him even more recognition. And our local superstar, Turkey Stearns, Norman Turkey Stearns, who was born in Tennessee but came to Detroit in 1923 to play for the Detroit Stars, spent most of his professional career here, and then went to work at the Ford Rouge plant for 27 years after he played in the Negro Leagues. So those are some great names, and not all of them, of course. Turkey Stearns played for the Stars. Cool Papa Bell played for 1 year in 1932 with the Detroit Wolves. Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson were on visiting teams when they played here.
What are we talking about as far as time span? When did games first start being played at Hamtramck Stadium, and when did it all end?
Hamtramck Stadium was built in 1930. They built ballparks really fast back then. They didn't have OSHA, and guys were expected to work from sun up to sundown, regardless of the weather or the dangerous conditions. So they built it in the spring of 1930. It was opened on May 11th. It hosted Negro League teams through 1937.
So, Mark, were there other Negro League teams based in Michigan? I'm wondering how long the Detroit Stars made their home at Hamtramck Stadium.
The Stars were organized in 1919 and were charter members of the Negro National League in 1920. They made Hamtramck Stadium their home field when it opened in 1930. And as Gary mentioned, the Detroit Wolves emerged for a year in 1932 because the National League collapsed. You know, this was the heart of the Great Depression, so tough times to start up leagues. So Detroit Wolves played in the East-West League for 1932, and then the Detroit Stars came back, but they were really a conversion of the Indianapolis ABCs. They had started opening day, I think, in 1933, and then that didn't work out, so they reverted to becoming the Detroit Stars. And the Detroit Clowns emerged in 1958. And I think that the last one was the Detroit New Orleans Stars in 1960 to 62. So these were all different iterations of the original Stars team with maybe the exception of the Indianapolis ABC's team. And there was also a semi-pro team that floated around playing in Detroit called the Detroit Cubs baseball team.
It seems pretty fluid.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the time. It was the Depression, and so a league would pop up, and as Gary said, they could throw a stadium up. There were promoters that were trying to use these leagues as a way to make money. In fact, in one of the sources I did research on, the original promoter for the stadium paid Ty Cobb to come back and throw the opening pitch out at the stadium just a year and a half, 2 years after Ty Cobb had retired from baseball.
Gary Gillette, what happened after 1937 when Negro Leagues came to an end at the stadium?
Well, Detroit was viewed as a really good market for the Negro Leagues. The problem was getting viable ownership. And in 1937, a newer version of the Detroit Stars, which would be the third major edition, not related to the 1933 Detroit Stars, not related to the 1919 to 1931 Detroit Stars. The 37 Detroit Stars were charter members of the Negro National League, and they had a one-year run before they folded. After that, Detroit hosted neutral site games where two teams from out of town would come into town and play an official league game on neutral turf. And then Detroit in the 1950s had a new edition of the Detroit Stars, which moved from Grand Rapids, later became the Detroit Clowns, and as noted, the Detroit New Orleans Stars. But the clubs in the mid to late 50s are very, very different. The Negro Leagues were fading away back then. There was only one league, the Negro American League. It was very, very minor in terms of quality and attendance. Once Jackie Robinson proved to white major league owners that African Americans could play baseball and play it well, there was a land rush, so to speak, to grab the best black talent. And so only players who weren't good enough or who were deemed too old to play in the majors were left in the Negro Leagues. Now, I'm not saying that the older guys weren't good enough. They were in many cases. They just weren't given the opportunity. And it's very heartbreaking to read some of their stories. So once the older black stars from the Negro Leagues retired in the early 50s, the quality of Negro League baseball was basically young players who weren't good enough to play in the now integrated, formerly white organized baseball. But after 1940, the city of Hamtramck acquired the stadium. Wayne County did a big renovation in 1941, somewhat extended because during a windstorm that spring, the roof blew off the stadium, so they had to put a new roof on, which they weren't planning on. So it was extensively renovated in 1941 and reopened for community use. Hamtramck Stadium had always been used for community use, high school baseball and football to start, soccer, boxing matches. The UAW sponsored integrated boxing. It was used for all sorts of things, including non-sports events. And that tradition continued after 1941 renovation, and the stadium was used for many things. In the late 50s, it was the home of the Hamtramck Little League World Series champions in 1959, including the star of that team was Art Pinky Darris, who was considered by many to be the greatest Little Leaguer who ever lived. The stadium was also used for American Legion baseball and Catholic high school baseball. By the 70s, the stadium was remodeled and cut back. It was made smaller to the current configuration now. And then in the early 90s, it was closed. But it had a 50-year run from 41 to the early 90s as a community sports venue that was used extensively.
So when did the effort to kind of rehab and restore this historic Hamtramck Stadium begin to gain steam? And where do things stand now, Gary?
Well, I moved to Detroit in 2005, and I am unaware of any efforts to restore it prior to that. I started doing research on Hamtramck Stadium in 2008, and then when I read that there was talk in Hamtramck of knocking it down, I went to the mayor of Hamtramck, Karen Majewski, who was the mayor then and still is the mayor, and said, you know, I'm not telling you what to do with your city because I don't live there. I live in Detroit. But I want you to know what the history of this place is before anyone talks further about demolition. And Mayor Majewski was very supportive, not to my surprise, but I was very grateful. She had me speak to Hamtramck City Council. I spoke to City Council. I got support from City Council. The mayor appointed a committee, which I was on, along with a local preservationist, Rebecca Bino Savage from Hamtramck, and Ian Parada, a newcomer to Detroit, who threw himself wholeheartedly into working to save the stadium. And we managed, with that committee, to do the work to get Hamtramck Stadium on the National Register in 2012. And when we get on the National Register, I founded the nonprofit Friends of Historic Hamtramck Stadium in 2012, along with Rebecca and Ian, my colleagues. And then in 2014, we installed a new State of Michigan Historic Marker at the site. So when did it gain steam? I would say 2010 with the appointment of the Mayor's Committee and 2012, the National Register. Those were the key events.
Mark, do you think this rehabbing of Hamtramck Stadium is helped out in any way by the Detroit Tigers and other MLB teams' effort to shine a light on the history of the Negro League by having the teams wear Negro League uniforms once a year?
Well, my answer will be subjective, but I'm going to give it nonetheless. I think it does, because the first time baseball-crazed 11-year-old son saw Justin Verlander wearing the Red Star baseball cap of the Detroit Stars, he started asking me all sorts of questions. Like, why are they wearing that? What team is that representing? There's a Negro League? Why was there a Negro League? And so on. So it definitely raised awareness just from us sitting there watching the game, watching them wear those uniforms. I'm not sure about how it affects grassroots fundraising. Gary could speak to that. But it definitely piques people's curiosity, for sure. And I really think with this stadium, it sort of goes the way of the famous baseball movie line. If you build it, and in this case, restore it, they will come.
Gary, where is Hamtramck Stadium exactly located? Folks may want to drive by and check it out. Where will they find it?
Well, they can find directions to it on our website, hamtramckstadium.org, or on our Facebook page. But basically, it's on the south side of Hamtramck, south of Holbrook, north of the railroad right-of-way, the Grand Trunk right-of-way. So it's just north of the GM Poultown plant and just south of Holbrook, just one block east of Joseph Campo, which is the main north-south commercial street in Hamtramck. You can see it from Joseph Campo if you stop at the entrance to Veterans Memorial Park. Veterans Memorial Park goes all the way to Joseph Campo, and where it comes to Joseph Campo, there's a memorial to veterans of American wars who were from Hamtramck, including the grave of Colonel Hamtramck, for whom the city is named. And on the left, to the left of the gravesite, is the historic marker that we installed in 2014. To the right is an historic marker for Dodge, Maine, if people know their automotive history, which was this huge auto factory that employed literally tens of thousands of people from both Detroit and Hamtramck, mostly from the east side, mostly people who walked to the factory or took the trolley there. You can see the back of the third base side of Hamtramck Stadium from that place. You can even walk through the park to it, or you can turn onto Dan Street from Joseph Campo, go one block east, and you're at the back of the stadium.
That's author, historian, and founder and president of the nonprofit Friends of Historic Hamtramck Stadium, Gary Gillette, along with state archivist Mark Harvey, sharing the story of Hamtramck Stadium, one of the last Negro League home ballparks still in existence. I want to thank both of you for spending time with us today on Stateside.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Cynthia.